Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Calling Captain Kirk to the bridge. November 2010, North Korea attacked a South Korean island. Shelling the island with something like, I don't know, 170 artillery shells and rockets, killing 4 South Koreans, injuring 19, some of them civilians. In the same year, North Korea torpedoes a South Korean warship in South Korean waters, sinks the ship, killing several. Last year, 2011, North Korea sent secret agents into South Korea on a mission to assassinate the South Korean defense minister. And then Thursday, Kim Jong-il's son and successor, Kim Jong-un, has made it clear he intends to continue in his father's footsteps in the tradition of being a troublemaker, in despite of UN resolutions and in despite of an agreement to, quote, a moratorium on nuclear tests, long-range missile launches, and uranium enrichment activity at Yongbyon, and agreeing to allow the IAEA to monitor the moratorium on uranium enrichment while productive dialogues continue, end quote, and so on. In despite of that agreement with America, he went ahead and launched a long-range missile anyway. Advisors to Obama warned him the language of the agreement was vague, and they wanted him to follow up with the usual protocol of taking the rough agreement hammered out and then, you know, fleshing it out, detailing it, defining the agreement, and then having a formal signing. But, hey, Obama can't be bothered with that kind of stuff. He's in an election year, man. He's very busy. You know, we got to move on here. You're noticing that the White House is warning the mainstream media not to get fixated on this launch. Don't make a big deal out of it because it's embarrassing. The North Koreans have launched a long-range missile, although the language of the moratorium specifically stipulated no long-range missiles during negotiations. Kim Jong-un's regime explains, well, this was about launching a satellite, so it doesn't count. Obama is dismissive of the missile launch, and so far, apparently, he agrees with North Korea that it was not a violation of their agreement. Apparently. Of course, that'll change if he can't get the MSM to quit telling everybody about it, about North Korea launching a long-range ballistic missile capable of delivering nuclear warheads to our West Coast. Then, in that case, in an election year, he'll have to do something. He'll have to do something like, well, make a statement or something like that. Aren't you getting tired of this? Pakistan has demanded that we no longer supply NATO forces via Pakistan and that we terminate all drone strikes against terrorist targets in Pakistan. Obama is relieved. The country that gave refuge to Osama bin Laden, you know, that countenances the killing of Christians, by the way, that is aiding and abetting the Afghan rebels attacking our boys on the AFPAC border. Pakistan, they're agreeing. They're so agreeable. They're agreeing to continue bilateral relations with us so long as we unilaterally give them money and munitions and whatever else they want for, well, nothing. This is not a bilateral relationship. It's a unilateral ripoff. But apparently the only thing Obama wants out of these negotiations with Pakistan is the ability to say, well, we're still friends. You know, to cover up the fact he's bungled U.S.-Pakistan relations. He wants to be able to say, Pakistan is our friend, and it doesn't matter if Pakistan is our friend. It only matters that Obama is able to say that they are, you see. Anyway, Obama wants to reduce our nuclear defenses by, what, 80%, I think I read. I don't think he's doing a very good job protecting America. Huh? Seems to me he's undermining our defenses and doing so at a time when he's enhancing the animus of our enemies. Seems to me that I remember when Kirk recognized a rising threat level to the Starship Enterprise, he would command, raise the shields. Our captain sees the threat level rising all over the world. I hope he sees it. and he lowers them. The Muslim Brotherhood gaining greater control in Egypt, Syria, Yemen, recently forming a political party in Libya, Kim Jong-un firing long-range missiles capable of delivering nuclear warheads to the West Coast, Iran working with North Korea to develop nuclear bombs, Syria spinning out of control with China's dragon eye narrowing at U.S.-Israeli talk of a preemptive strike on Iran or intervention into Syria and Assad's massacre of civilians there. Meanwhile, the Russian bear coming out of hibernation, very hungry, by the way. Russia has warned the U.S. and Israel that a preemptive strike against Iran or Syria would be considered by them a violation of international law. Then they back this up by sending one of their largest warships, a guided missile destroyer, into a Syrian port and beginning exercises there, working in the same waters where U.S.-Israeli ships are conducting exercises. Oh boy, this could get very dangerous. We're not returning to the Cold War years, my friends. No, we're moving into a whole new territory here. We're watching the development of a coalition of anti-American Israeli forces, the likes of which we've never seen, on a scale we've never seen. Obama has made us more vulnerable to foreign hostilities than at any other time in our history. I mean, it's Nixon's worst nightmare come true, an alignment of China and Russia against America. But it's even worse than that, because now not only do we have China and Russia coming together, but Iran with Syria, Jordan, the so-called Palestinians posturing for war against Israel, all with China and Russia watching their back, able to and actually holding America in check. Now add to this Egypt recently turning against Israel, with a president here in the United States who only pretends to be pro-Israel. And do you comprehend what's developing here? He's trying to win an election. He's all pro-Israel, but we know his heart is actually on the side of our enemies. And so intentionally or unintentionally, his policies have manipulated nations to maneuver in such a way so the geopolitical landscape looks very threatening against America-Israeli interests and putting a good deal of pressure on the America bond with Israel. What will America do if Israel does strike Iran and it hits its nuclear facilities? China and Russia have been unwilling to put serious pressure on Iran to halt uranium enrichment there. They say they agree. They sort of insinuate they agree that Iran should cooperate with the international community and should offer assurance to Israel that her intentions are truly domestic, for domestic energy and not weaponry against Israel. But they don't demand any real action on the part of Iran. The only demands they put out to anybody is on Israel. They don't even ask Iran for any specific action. And yet they're very clear what Israel ought to do or not to do in this case. China and Russia continue to pressure Israel not to go after Iran's nuclear facilities. And America's right there doing the same thing. When it comes to Syria, China-Russia has, are you listening, openly said they would regard a preemptive attack as a violation of international law. Now, as far as China-Russia is concerned, interfering with their access to Arab oil is sufficiently important to them to trump any concern Israel might have about being attacked by Iran with a nuclear warhead. China-Russia's connection to Syria is perhaps a little more interesting. China, for example, has expressed openly its loyalty to Syria's Assad is in part because of Assad's support for China's human rights policies. A couple of peas for the pod. Huh? I guess they're very similar after all. Remember Tiananmen. As for Russia, you know, Syria is one of Russia's largest arms buyers. And by the way, I think it's the third largest market for China. And so, isn't it interesting? Our moderates' favorite communist countries apparently shape their policies not with regard to human rights concerns, but entirely around money and the right to kill people who disagree with you politically. The irony is palpable. But my point at this point is that Obama's foreign and domestic policies have been a disaster, provoking the geopolitical world to align menacingly against the traditional U.S.-Israeli bond, while at the same time making America more vulnerable to foreign hostilities than ever before, and positioning America in such a way that we are actually being held in check by a China-Russia alliance. And the irony is that if he did one simple thing, Most of this would start unraveling. The nations would quickly begin to realign, disconnect, and realign. And that one thing would be to get out of the way of our industry in this country. Interestingly enough, let Starship Enterprise, allow our entrepreneurs to do what they do best and let Americans tap into their own resources in oil and natural gas. I am super tired today, by the way. I don't know if you noticed. I've been up most of the night and that off of a road trip to boot. And while I'm engaged in a cold war of my own, a war against the cold. Anyway, I feel like I'm struggling to get my point across. But what I want you to see today in the brain massage is that a U.S. president's domestic and foreign policies have enormous influence upon how the entire geopolitical landscape shapes up. When the American president implements policies that frustrate American industry and enterprise and weakens our economy, a weakened American economy touches every other economy in the world. It's all intersected. It forces all sorts of maneuvering to go on among the nations who depend on the dollar standard or who depend on American markets. When the U.S. president restricts the development of oil in the world market today, that hugely influences geopolitical maneuvering and encourages alignments among nations. It drives China and Russia into the hands of the Arabs, and this in turn funds our enemies in their efforts to undermine American interests. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, you cannot overestimate the influence of a president of the United States policies on the entire world right now. And it's really amazingly simple. When we have a commander-in-chief whose policies aid and abet the enemies of our liberties, well, then our liberties become vulnerable, duh. If our commander-in-chief leads in the direction of fiscal responsibility, well, the world markets respond dramatically. If America became a major competitor in the world oil market, it would have an impact that would shake up the geopolitical world. It could very well break the financial back of the terrorists harboring nations in the world today, and would also have a huge impact on the bond developing between China, Russia, and Iran. President-elect Obama is really messing things up. I don't know, intentionally or unintentionally. It's not even the point right now. And at a time when the threat level against our liberties is rising from within and from without, Obama's working to lower the shields of Starship Enterprise. He is attacking the Constitution, the shield of our political liberties. He's attacking the free market system in this country, attacking our economic liberties. And his assault on our economy is weakening our ability to defend ourselves or to keep our commitments to our allies. His foreign affairs policies are strengthening the hands of those who hate us. At the same time, when the threat from them is rising, Obama is lowering our shields. Kirk, where are you? Captain Kirk to the bridge, please. Starship Enterprise is under attack. Scotty, raise the shields. Quick, send Obama on a permanent vacation. That's what he'd rather be doing anyway. I'll be right back.
Pastor Scheidbach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com to make a donation or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties, calling Captain Kirk to the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. Oh, as many of you know, I conduct prophecy conferences. And by the way, check out my new book on prayer and fasting. It's titled Kingdom Power by Prayer and Fasting. You can go to barnesandnoble.com, get an e-book or a paperback or hardback. I recommend the hardback. It's a very nice book. You like to read it over and over. You can also get it on amazon.com. Soon it'll be appearing in bookstores. But you might have to ask for it. It's a good read. So anyway, go to Barnes & Noble and buy my book, Kingdom Power by Prayer and Fasting, or go to Amazon.com and get my book by Prayer and Fasting. Get an ebook edition, paperback, or hardback. Prices vary, so shop around. In any event, as you know, I teach on prophecy, and the things I'm talking about, the alignments developing between China, Russia, Iran, and so on, these are all in prophecy, my friends. All right, now get a load of this. Planned Parenthood has organized a 40 days of prayer campaign for abortion. Oh, yeah. You might not realize this, but we have made some very significant gains against the abortion industry over the past 10 years. Many of these gains, if not most of them, have lately developed over the last 3 years. Now, the pro-abortion crowd is realizing that grassroots Christians in the trenches, day after day, being salt and light in their communities, have, on this front, begun to have quite an impact. and they're discovering that religion is still relevant in America. But never take these people for granted. They shape change like I don't know how to pronounce it, cameloid. It would be a chameleon, so chameleoid or whatever. Anyway, Star Trek again. They're one of their episodes. I forget which. Undiscovered Country. That's right. So anyway, abortionists are shapeshifting here. They're having prayer vigils in support of murdering babies in the womb. How about that? Quote, Humboldt County Clergy for Choice invite you to set aside time with your family and community to support women and reproductive justice for 40 days from March 18th through April 27th. That's odd because we, for some years now, set aside the 40 days immediately following Easter for a time of prayer and fasting at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. But anyway, reproductive justice? Justice? What these people have done to the ideal of justice is an abomination. I mean, it's Hitler-esque. Consider the injustice of killing an innocent human baby because that baby would be an inconvenience to someone. Does that sound like justice to you? How about the injustice of taking a scalpel and inserting it into the sanctuary of a mother's womb, cutting the life there to pieces and removing the pieces with clamps and reassembling the pieces on a cold steel table to make certain you got it all, or inserting a tube into the womb and scalding the child with saline solution, burning it to death? Then you talk to me about justice? Unbelievable. Where's the justice in that? You know, I've said for many years now that we need a revival in this country. Of course, who hasn't said that, right? But I've outlined what sort of revival of authentic religion that is needed. By the way, I did my undergraduate thesis on the question of the nature of revival, and I studied it very thoroughly. I noticed that each national revival in this country, the history of revivals in this country, each one is distinguished by unique features. And I outlined the revival I think we need in America today in a message titled, The Revival That We Need. You can find that on our website. And I mentioned the important role of prayer in all revivals. Every revival has had its genesis in a revival of praying or prayer. But I point out that it will come down to a contest, a prayer contest, between those whose prayers God actually hears versus those whose prayers are an abomination to Him. Now, you know, who is the people of a prayer-hearing God? Here's the first open sign of this very thing developing. It's very interesting to me. Here you have a clergy going public to commit themselves to openly pray for abortion rights. Well, I'm praying for the baby's right to life. See? So, you know, it goes beyond the scope of my message to get into how this plays out. You know, in other words, whether we continue the act of legally sanctioned murder of babies in the womb, that won't be a matter simply of prayer, quite frankly. It doesn't work that way. Prayer isn't like some magical spell you cast on people to get them to act contrary to their will. God's given man free will. However, God will certainly openly demonstrate whose prayers He's hearing. And when you find out, God's hearing ear is bent on those Christians who support the life of the baby in the womb and His work in the womb. Well, then you find out those of you who are committing the act of abortion are in trouble. You need to repent. Now, this is interesting to me. Let's see how this develops over the next few years. But I'll tell you this. A great national prayer challenge is going to develop in this country. Oh, yeah. Anyway, as you know, Santorum has suspended his campaign. Looks like 2008 revisited to me, or another Meg Whitman failure. Did his dramatic drop in the polls in his home state there in Pennsylvania take him out on a TKO, you know, a technical knockout? I guess the Republicans in Pennsylvania prefer moderate Romney to conservative Santorum. This is interesting to me. Santorum disappointed conservative Republicans in his home state of Pennsylvania when he endorsed moderate Republican Arlen Specter. He's more like a liberal Republican, a rhino, for the 1996 GOP presidential nomination. I know. That was not the only thing he did that irked the Pennsylvania GOP. You know, the same GOP machine that put Specter into the Senate there in Pennsylvania. Or in other words, the GOP in Pennsylvania is about as confused on conservative issues as a termite in a yo-yo. It kind of sounds like California. He supported raising the debt ceiling every time the rest of his Republican co-laborers or co-colleagues supported it. And he supported some tax increases and so on in a convoluted sort of way, but he did, that most of the rest of his Republican colleagues also supported. But what really got the ire of the conservative branch of the Pennsylvania GOP was his endorsement of liberal Rhino Specter over a genuine conservative they were supporting, Toomey. So, now follow me closely on this, family. The conservatives in Pennsylvania dropped their support for Santorum, for conservative Santorum, because Santorum made a politically expedient decision to go down what he considered was the best path to win for conservatism by giving his endorsement to a Rhino, who was in a position to help Santorum get some wins for conservatism with Specter's promised help. You know, quid pro quo and all that, political maneuvering stuff. So I disagree with all that junk. By the way, I believe it always comes back to bite you in the end. But here's what I find intriguing. The Pennsylvania conservatives, angry at Santorum for failing to support their conservative candidate in favor of a Rhino, withdraw their support for conservative Santorum in his bid for the presidency and throw it behind a Rhino. So you see, what the conservatives in Pennsylvania did is this. They chose a Rhino named Romney as their political expedient choice, believing Romney had a better chance to beat Obama than Santorum, which is a very great mistake. Or in other words, the conservatives made a politically expedient decision and turned away from a true conservative to support a quasi-conservative, which is the very thing they hammered Santorum for doing when he gave his endorsement to Specter. Is this bizarre or what? I tell you, I wondered if the Specter would come back to haunt Santorum. And perhaps this is an opportunity for Santorum to take a lesson on the danger of succumbing to the seductive power of political expediency, because it clouds your decision-making abilities and corrupts your convictions. It makes sense in an ironic sort of way, and maybe there is a kind of ironic, poetic justice that's come upon Santorum. Somebody who is a conservative, call me here in California. Tell me why you think Romney can beat Obama. 1-888-770-8000. I want someone to explain to me really why you think, what is your conservative now? I know why you liberals and moderates think he can win. I want to know from a conservative why you believe Romney can beat Obama. Let me hear from you. With Santorum out, conservatism's choices are narrowed to Newt or Paul, which leaves many of us feeling that conservatism no longer has a candidate in this race. The GOP has allowed the MSM to choose their candidate again. It's 2008 revisited. I don't believe Romney is a principled conservative. I just don't. I don't believe he can beat Obama. Do you realize that Obama's entire campaign strategy has been built around the anticipation that he'll be running against Romney? You could have really thrown him a curveball if you threw Santorum at him. Or Newt, by that way, or Paul, for that matter. Romney is a poster boy for everything Obama's running against. He's rich, he's white, and he's status quo. Yeah. At the same time, he's so much like Obama, many have taken to calling him Obama Light. I wonder if they got that from my show. I've been calling that for a long time. Others call him Obama White. Yeah. Look, if Obama becomes the nominee, I don't plan to beat on him relentlessly. But the point of this show, surprisingly to many, is not politics. I know. Yeah, listen, many misunderstand me and the Brain Massage show. My interest in political issues is entirely as a study of human nature in action, a tracking of trends in culture, a monitoring of the culture war for the soul of America, and an opportunity to engage in public discussion of these things from the, you know, that engage us and that affect us from the perspective of the Bible. Yeah, a biblical perspective on current events that affect our lives. This is not to say Jerry Scheidbach does not support or endorse this or that candidate. I most certainly do. However, I cannot give an endorsement to Romney. Of course, he hasn't asked me for one, but I can't give him. Look, and by the way, it's not because he's Mormon. With regard to the Mormon thing, I've spoken to it many times. In my opinion, and I get to have one, it's a ridiculous religious hodgepodge of mysticism, Christianity, Freemasonry, and Gnostic heresy. And my opinion is an informed one, by the way. The difference between Islam and Mormonism is in Islam, you get 70 virgins. With Mormons, you don't have any limit. In Islam, Allah doesn't have sex, but the Muslims get to have all they want if they kill themselves murdering infidels in his cause. Whereas in Mormonism, God gets to have a harem too. In fact, that's what being Mormon, being God, is all about for the Mormon, is having a harem, making spirit babies, populating planets. Sacred underwear, salvation by works, Satan is Jesus' brother. I mean, it just goes on and on. So no, Mormonism is no more Christian than Islam is, in my opinion, including the fact they both deny the Trinity. Look, I know I'm going to get some Mormon listeners, and you listen, and I love you. I appreciate you listening. Some of you are going to call me and you're going to tell me that I'm ignorant about your beliefs and stuff like that. So let me get ahead of this. If you call, please leave your number. Let me call you back. And we'll have a discussion if we can just have a talk about it. And I'll give you my documentation supporting all these allegations. And you show me which of your prophets has in writing, or you can give me an audio tape of one of your prophets denouncing these notions as not being part of Mormon history. Or even if they'll just declare that these things are contrary to current Mormon doctrine. That'd be interesting to me. I'd like to get an update on all these things. So by all means, give me a call. But nevertheless, just to be fair and balanced, Catholic idolatry, whether virtual worship of Mary, prayers to saints, all that pagan nonsense that got absorbed into the Catholic traditions. It's obvious. Anybody who studied history knows that. It doesn't cause me to believe that a Catholic cannot make a decent president. The fact is, folks, I'm Baptist. And in my opinion, the two worst presidents we've ever had, I guess that's until Obama came along. But before Obama, the two worst presidents we've ever had have both been Baptist. Yeah. Now, you need to differentiate between what I call historic denominational Baptists and nominal Baptists from authentic historic Baptists and all that. But that's for another time. Many of my friends believe that I ought to support any candidate that is not Obama. And they flatter me in some ways, thinking that my endorsement or that what I'm doing here, my little show, my little corner of the earth, can make a difference. I don't think it has as much makes. I don't know. We had several multiple tens of thousands of listeners and podcasts and all that stuff. Anyway, I don't know what my influence is with regard to that. All I can tell, I can't support Romney. He can't beat Obama. Newt has a better chance at beating Obama than Romney does. Romney is simply not strong enough. When he tries to get tough, he comes across either as kind of nasty and mean, or he just sounds fake. Pay attention. He is simply and obviously very uncomfortable when he tries to articulate conservative values. He has as much trouble when he's off script, when he's trying to articulate conservative values, as Obama has when he's off teleprompter. And that makes me nervous, friends. Now, either he's ashamed of his conservative values, or he doesn't hold them as genuine convictions. He is so vulnerable to being attacked for being too conservative by the liberals and then being too liberal for the conservatives. And so ending up being alienated from both. And that's why moderates never win. They get run over when they stand in the middle of the road. They don't win national elections, typically. Now, everyone knows Obama is a flaming liberal. Everyone knows that at his core, he's a Marxist socialist. And they will tolerate his pandering to center-right a little bit in order to get him elected. With conservatives, it's a different mentality, friends. We don't believe with conviction that Romney is authentic, principled, conservative on many of the issues that are important to us, including fiscal issues, by the way, and including nationalized health care, by the way. So it's not just social issues. So during the national election, when he tracks leftward, we're not going to be saying, well, he's just trying to get elected. We're going to be inclined to think, okay, now we see his true colors. In order to get a winner, we need a clear-headed conservative who can articulate conservative principles with conviction and clarity, and who could point out the clear and present danger of a second term for Obama with conviction without being exposed to the attack of, well, you're like him. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me see. And now you let me know if you see that they are on. You call me. It's your turn to respond now. Call me at 1-888-770-8000. And so lights on, you agree. Lights off, you disagree. So what will it be today? Lights on or lights off? I wonder. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States. From outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website, clicking on the Contact Us button. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com. All one word, lowercase, you know the drill. Thebrainmassageshow.com. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m.